Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. A Maricopa County judge has been saying people living in Rio Verde foothills have not proven they've been harmed badly and that government stakeholders should take charge to settle the water fight. The community, which is part of Scottsdale, says they made the move because of ongoing drought conditions on the Colorado River. The judge won't order the city to resume sending water to Rio Verde foothills. Arizona Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs has been transporting migrants out of the state, but her office plans to take a slightly different approach than the Ducey administration. Hobbs says it's something that provides support to local communities. Arizona Democratic Congressman Ruben Gallego is expected to run for the U.S. Senate. The lawmaker will challenge Independent Senator Kristen Sinema's seat in 2024. He was also told by many Democrats to run. Sinema has not responded to any plans for re-election next year. A teen in Calexico has been arrested on burglary charges. Police had to run down the teen on foot. Video footage and pictures of the incident have been posted to the website. That's the latest from the YumaDailyNews.com newsroom. I'm Kendra White.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Chamber Chatter, only the good stuff from the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Kimberly Kale. I'm the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And of course, we have Russ Clark in the studio with us. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Good morning. I missed you last week. Did you miss me?
Yeah, really.
So Lori did. Lori did an amazing job. I'm so fortunate to have a great board that can fill in for me.
Isn't that nice? You just fill in. Now, normally, I just tape it for you or something, but that's okay.
It was.
I will do whatever you want.
There was no time to tape it. By the time I realized I couldn't do it, I was out of town. I had that son that had to go back to school, so I was gone.
You took off for that.
I know. Is what it is. He's back now, and I'm back to normal, back to an empty nester for a little while, so till summer, so or spring break probably.
I don't know what normal is, but it's nice that you found it.
Yeah, well, okay, as normal as I ever am. Maybe that's a better way to put it, right? Well, this morning we're going to talk about the city of San Luis, and I'm so pleased that we have Jenny Torres joining us today. I can't even talk. Good morning.
And San Luis, Arizona.
San Luis, Arizona. Yes. So, Jenny, I really wanted you on today because in just the 2.5 years since I've lived here, I hardly recognize San Luis when I drive in anymore. I mean, just going to our office in San Luis, I mean, that area has built up so much. And if you haven't been to San Luis lately, I almost feel like you haven't been to San Luis because it's changed so much and grown so much. So, Jenny, tell us everything. Well, we only have an hour, but tell us everything that's new in San Luis.
Sure. Well, good morning and thank you for the invitation. I'm really happy to be here and share some of the great things that are happening in the city of San Luis. You know, that comment that you made, a lot of people make that comment when they haven't been there and they come back to the city of San Luis and they see the amount of growth that we're having. We are one of the fastest growing communities. Even our past governor said we were the booming town in Arizona. And so a lot has to do with a lot of the residential that is happening. Mm-hmm. We've had a major general plan amendment that created an opportunity for more residential growth. And as we have more rooftops, we have more commercial development. We finally got our Starbucks. We love it. Enjoying it this morning.
I know exactly where that Starbucks is.
Yeah. And so we're having a lot more commercial development. Mm-hmm. We also had some major investors that came in and purchased land for industrial development. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a combination of the residential, the commercial, industrial growth that we're having. Plus, we're having some major infrastructure investment. One is our modernization of the port of entry,
right?
Which is going from 8 vehicle lanes to 16 vehicle lanes. That's a $267 million investment.
So where are those going exactly? Because I'm picturing downtown San Luis and going, it's crowded now.
Yeah. Well, you know, we did a origin and destination study with YMPO, so it really gave us, you know, the results. A lot of people are coming in for, you know, shopping, for work. A lot of people do stay within the city of San Luis. A lot of people do come to this, you know, to Yuma to shop.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a percentage that actually goes out of town. But that origin and destination study really gave us an overview of what are these people? Why are they coming? You know, where are they going? What areas are they focused on?
And when does construction start?
Construction, I believe that the contract, the design, is going to be completed pretty soon.
Okay.
Our understanding is May of 2023.
Okay.
So it's going to start construction pretty good. But, you know, be aware that they're going to phase it out. So they're going to try to minimize the disruption to people coming in, both pedestrian and vehicle crossing.
Yeah, especially this time of year when we still have the migrant workers coming in that we need so desperately.
Correct. Yeah, I think they, you know, we're going to work very closely with them.
Right.
But, you know, because they have more land to build on, we were able to relinquish our Friendship Park. So they're going to start in those areas. Again, you know, focusing the last phase being the middle where the pedestrian crossings are coming in. So I think they'll be able to keep the crossings going without no disruption.
So it's going in where Friendship Park is?
The Friendship Park, I think that's where they're building their employee parking, and then the southbound.
Okay.
But again, they're going to do that. On the other face is going to be the inbound where they had the old commercial area.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the middle is going to be the pedestrians, and then they're going to have their offices. But that's going to be the last phase, again, making sure that there's no disruption.
So speaking of port of entries, what kind of impact has it had, the commercial port of entry outside of town now?
Mm. Well, you know, I don't think there has been a true impact. I think what they wanted to do is really, because of the emissions that the trucks create, they wanted to really separate that and keep the pedestrian and the vehicle crossing in one port and the commercial on the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has benefited our community. Calexico has a very similar structure, so I think it works for that. We want to continue. But I do, I can tell you that eventually our commercial port of entry will eventually be pushed to try to have, you know, vehicle crossing. But that's a long-term goal.
Well, the way I see it, pretty soon, San Luis, like the houses are going to connect to that commercial port of entry anyway. Well, I mean, it's really growing.
They're already building houses. There's a lot of houses.
There's a lot of houses out there.
And there's some other businesses built right on that. But that's all in city limits, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all within city limits. Yeah. So we see that there's a lot of, we have a lot of federal and state land, about 80% of our land. So that's why you see that kind of skipped and growth of development. But, you know, eventually I think we're going to talk to the government to try to see how we can address that issue and try to have more development in between those two, what we call the east and the west side of town.
Right. I totally get that because, like, the medical mall is out there closer to the commercial port of entry, and it's amazing. Ross, have you ever been there?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That place is
beautiful.
That's
building.
All new.
It's a beautiful facility. It is.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was in Amanda Gary's office when she first got the blueprints a few years ago.
Got it. Okay.
And was looking at that stuff. Yeah.
We have a hotel that is being built there.
I saw.
We have two schools. You know, Somerton's building one phase, but ultimately it's 500 students, and then Harvest is going to build a 2,500 students.
What's the population of San Luis now?
Well, the census did put us at about 35,000.
35.
But,
okay.
Yeah, but I think we were undercounted. We're thinking we're more like 40,000.
Where's everybody hiding?
Yeah. you know, we have the second largest postal service, so we don't have mailings to our homes.
Okay,
right.
That's nuts.
That's crazy.
That's insane. I mean, you guys are still in the USA.
Correct.
Yeah, for a city of that size. Now, I grew up in very rural areas where, I mean, my town was 350 people. We had to go to the post office, and that makes sense.
But this doesn't make
any
sense.
But this doesn't, yeah,
it
does. not for a city that size.
Yeah, that's one of the issues.
You still pay the same rate, I mean, the same stamp.
Yep, we do.
You know, they'd deliver it to your house.
Yeah, it should.
Yeah.
It should. We're working on that.
Let's go call the postmaster.
The postmaster has been very helpful. Is we got to go higher up and, you know, try to make a case that we need delivery at home.
Well, there's no reason not to. I mean, it's not rural anymore. It's city.
It's not rural anymore.
And you know, it's not just the rural part, but the area where the post office is located is right on Highway 95, which is the southbound traffic going into Mexico.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It gets very crazy.
And that thing gets backed up.
It's huge. Yes.
Big time. Certain times of the day, you know, that's, I don't need to tell you, but I mean, everybody else, if you're not paying attention, but it moves along. It does move, but it's a weight.
Yeah. And that's going to continue. You know, our southbound is going to continue to be on Archibald. So that location of the post office, not the greatest location.
And no.
You know, we'll see how, you know, the city can try to address that. You know, we're going to have to talk to a lot of people and try to We need to have somebody come out.
We need to have somebody come out and see what it looks like.
We've done videos, you know, to really show the traffic. And for you to get to the post office, forget it. There's certain times in the day that you can't.
But that's just one of the
growing pains and something that we need to address.
I mean, it's a good problem to have. I mean, that's what it is. But yeah, it's an opportunity, right? That's how you look at it.
I don't think it's a good problem to have at all.
It's a tough problem to have.
No, growing pains are always a good problem to have there because it means you're growing.
I noticed they're building down the hill now off Main Street. You know, that never did catch on much.
No,
I noticed an O'Reilly's down there, but not a lot.
Is the PEP, the charter school, is building there. They want to do some more commercial developments.
Okay.
I'm working on a redevelopment of the downtown that includes part of the portion and going over the hill and really revitalize that area. Maybe I think that will help. And as we see more growth, we have some businesses there that could attract more restaurants in the area. It's the traffic situation, being able to get there. That
really?
Becomes a problem, yes.
Because there's less traffic down there once you're down there.
Mm-hmm. But you got to get down there.
The main street's tough.
Yeah, I think that is the situation. Is, you know, you pretty much block out that section when you have southbound traffic going to Mexico.
And that's what killed it, because it never did seem to flourish.
Yeah, we're hoping to, you know, to make some significant investments and make some changes to try to get some more companies in that. And it's starting, you know, with the PEP Charter School. I think that's really, they're going to build a beautiful facility.
You need to take a break. When we get back, I want to know who she works for. I don't even know what her position is. I mean, I know now, I looked it up. But
Okay, well, before we do that, we better take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
Lots of sunshine, no rain the rest of this week through the weekend, but we may get some wet weather as early as Monday. The potential for another cold front to bring us some rain. It's a sunny, breezy day today and a little bit warmer than yesterday, 68 this afternoon. Overnight, though, those temperatures are chilly, mid-40s tonight. Sunny and breezy tomorrow, 66. Friday warms up, 68, 70 the high Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, and we have Russ Clark in the studio.
Present,
yep, always. Well, I'm glad to have you. And this morning, we're also talking with Jenny Torres and Russ. She is the Economic Development Manager for the City of San Luis.
I already knew that.
Now that you looked that up. Sorry, I said she was with the City of San Luis, and I guess I take it for granted because I am very fortunate that I see Jenny on a regular basis. So Jenny, we were kind of talking about different things going on in the City of San Luis, so I'm just going to let you keep going. I mean, so it sounds like there's a lot of schools going in too, which you probably need the way the housing development is going.
Correct. I think, you know, the two additional schools that are happening, as I mentioned, you have the Somerton School District building a two-phase project. Is about 500 students, Harvest, 2,500 students. And then you have PEP, it's a charter school,
right,
building about, I believe it's 300 students. So, you know, with the amount of residential happening, you have, you know, the
charter growth. Schools have gone big down there. I mean, the Harvest Preparatory took off right away.
It sure did. You know, for them to propose a 2,500 students, that's a pretty big.
That's a big school.
That's a big school.
Yeah, that's charter school.
It is charter school. And it's, you know, people are attending, so.
Yeah.
So it's becoming very popular. You know, we do have our average age is 27, so we're a very young community.
That's a very young community.
You got babies down there running that place. No,
we have a lot of, you know, young families, a lot of educated families. And so now, you know, I mean, you see from the schools, we have a lot of smart kids.
Definitely.
90, I believe, in terms of Yuma County, we have a very low percentage in dropout rates. We have the highest percentage in college going rate. So we got some smart kids down
there. Your high school down there has been leading the pack you know, and we got some very high rated high schools actually in Yuma, which is amazing. But San Luis, and I talk about it quite a bit, and I've attributed it to a lot of first generation, and they're hungry, and they really want, and the parents that may be, you know, immigrants or new to the United States or you know, not born here, they look for success and they look for their kids to do well. It makes a difference. I mean, they seem to flourish.
Yeah, I think, a lot of our parents are farm workers, they were working hard trying to get us the education, and, you know, we took advantage and we got the education. So that's why you have all this young generation of kids. Most parents, having immigrants or, farm workers or both, and they're succeeding.
I've talked to some of the farmers out there, and they said that, the culture of the whole thing is, they want their kids to have success, and they don't necessarily want them to work in the fields. It's not like do what I did, but become doctor, lawyer, whatever it is. And apparently they'll ask the boss for time off to take their kids to college when everybody's around, because they want, they're proud. They're happy that their kids are doing well, and they push them to chase the American dream.
Yeah, farm workers, I mean, they have a really tough job. It is crazy that, we see people sleeping and by the banks, by the buildings, waiting for the buses. And that's at 2
o'clock
in the morning.
I say, what are you doing up that early?
Yes. We got in pictures. I get up at 5. I'm an early bird, but not that early.
But and I've been down there at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and the city is open. I mean, the city's running. It's, the places of business are open because that's when the business is there. You got that many people coming in.
Yeah, we have, at least from what I heard, it's between 8,000 to 10,000 farm workers coming on a daily basis. Yeah. You'll have over 400 buses, in downtown. So it's vibrant at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
It's well organized. It's not chaos. It is well organized. These labor managers will park, and people know where they are, and they walk right to them. They hand them credentials. They get checked out. They got... HR people, human resources people that are there, check them in, check them out. And, it's very orchestrated, very organized.
Mm-hmm. They've been doing this for years. So they understand. Yeah, and they work really closely with the community in making sure that, they know where the locations are at as, they're trying to get more workers, usually the workers already understand where the buses are.
And they all facilitate. They have to. They facilitate to help with paperwork. They help with, whatever they need to do to make sure that their buses are full.
Yes. You want that lettuce, up in Washington, want to make sure that, 90% of our lettuce comes from, this area. So you want to have the ability to harvest those fields.
But you would think with that kind of influx of people and everything like that, that would be kind of chaos. You wouldn't think there's even parking for those buses, but there is at that time of the morning. There's not a lot of residential traffic.
No. We do have some traffic situation. We just did a traffic study to give us a better sense of, what the situation is with the parking. And we have some recommendations that we're going to go before city council. There's some investment that the city would have to make. And then there's a partnership with the labor companies that they would have to make in order to be able, it's not just the bus parking, but it's their employee parking.
Right.
And then you have the restroom. So, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of parts, to making sure that, we have an organized area to be able to provide the services that those farm workers need. But it's a partnership. So, some good recommendations coming into city council.
And how does the expansion or the widening of Cesar Chavez play into all of this?
That was really a huge part of, showcasing that Cesar Chavez Boulevard is our only east and west corridor in our community. As I mentioned, the east and west, we really wanted to make that connection between the two ports of entry. We wanted to make the connections to, connecting the town. The amount of traffic in the afternoon at 3 or 4 o'clock, it seems like you're making like even thinking that you're going to Mexico. A lot of people have truly experienced.
It's scary, right?
I'm sighing because some of those four-way stops are just like,
And then we have a lot of schools in that corridor. Yep. And so that creates even more traffic and safety issues for our kids. So the state, you know, the state was able to provide us $33 million. You know, we advanced. We were able to get $1.2 million from congressional direct spending from Senator Kelly's office. They help us. And we are still short about $25 million with the cost of construction right now. It's incredible. You know, I thought I had the money to do it all. Now I have to go back and request another $25 million. So we're submitting several grant applications to try to get that funding. ADOT is our partner, and they're starting to do the design. We're going to hire a company to start the design. We're at 30% already, hoping to take it to 100% by you know, second, third quarter of next year, we're going to start the construction. So it's really an urgency to try to get the funding in order to do that. We cannot keep that road the way it is. It's not going to meet the traffic demand. The current traffic demand is, so imagine 8 million people coming across the border. You expand, you got 16 lanes, so you can double the amount. So we really need to address that issue. It's a priority for the community.
I have learned my way around the side streets now of town.
A lot of people do.
So just because, although they're going to start getting busier too as people learn those side streets. You know, I'm in San Luis often enough that I kind of go, I'll go this way and that way. But it kind of, for me, it's also dependent on the time of day, too. It's not so bad certain times of day.
Yeah, we're also making some additional investments on County 24th Street.
Okay.
You know, we were able to get a license from the Bureau of Reclamation, and we're going to try to build a, you know, two-way road there to try to alleviate with that traffic. But that's only a partial way of helping alleviate the traffic. We really need to focus on Cesar Chavez Boulevard. So, you know, we're going to be out there knocking on doors, trying to get that additional funding that we need. So we hope that, you know, our elected officials at every single level is supportive, because this corridor is, it's not just the city of San Luis, it's the region, it's the state, it's where commerce is coming in. And so we really need to focus on that and letting everybody know that it's not just a city of San Luis corridor. It's a corridor that impacts the whole state.
Right, definitely. I mean, watching the trucks go through, you looked like you're about to say something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
the new port of entry, is it starting to pick up traffic? You know, when it was first built, you know, they had this budget of how many trucks would come on, but it kind of died. I mean, you actually lost business.
Yeah, I think we lost a lot of business during that time. You know, it's a very sophisticated commercial port of entry, but we weren't getting the crossings that we needed. Things are changing. We're seeing a lot more developments on the Mexico side.
Okay.
We have some really key companies that came in. And so now we're starting to see the traffic. If there's something that is definitely increasing, is the commercial traffic. And so we're very happy to see that.
And that's, you know, I knew the commercial traffic. It's like the facility was so nice, everybody wanted to be there, and they started inspecting trucks a lot more, and the truckers avoided it.
Correct. Yeah, I think, you know, our elected officials, the region, you know, was able to talk to ADOT and to talk to, you know, the federal highways, and really making sure that the inspections were done only on a necessary basis. We were able, ADOT actually started a program that kind of helped educate it, provided classes to the truckers about what issues to look at that they could be stopped on. And they're doing very successful, actually. And Texas is not trying to do the same thing that Arizona's doing, which is excellent.
But I would say we had a trucking outfit in San Luis that would go to Calexico.
Correct.
Because he wouldn't use his own thing because he couldn't afford, you know, the nitpicking. And if he had a light bulb out or something, it was just a ding against the company that could cause some issues with.
Yeah, we still have some issues outstanding, like the USDA inspections. You know, we need somebody there on site, you know, 24/7. Well, maybe not 24/7, but the hours of operations of the port. Right now, that person kind of oversees Calexico and San Luis, and so it's not efficient. And then the other situation is the hours of operations of the port. You know, when time changes in California and Arizona, they have an advantage. So if you have a truckload of products and you're not going to be able to make it to San Luis, you have the ability to go through Calexico, even though that product is coming back to Yuma.
Right.
Correct. So, you know, there's still a few changes. I think if we have a higher number of crossings, then I think the port will justify opening, you know, extra hours. And so we could be competitive with Calexico. So I'm hoping that is coming. It's just taking us a while to get there.
unfortunately. I was surprised. In fact, I was just down there a couple of weeks ago at the new port of entry at how much residential, because I hadn't been down there in a while, and a lot of residential has sprung up in the area. And so your residential is still continuing to flourish.
You know, it hasn't stopped. Even the recession in 2008, our self-help program was really kept the residential coming. And then now we have a lot of people from California coming. During the recession, a lot of people moved to Mexico. But, you know, because of the long lines and to some point, you know, is they don't want to do that. So now they're building their homes. So it's a combination of changes that have happened in San Luis. But again, we talk about, you know, our farm worker parents, and now you have the young families buying homes. And so it has not stopped. You know, I know there's changes in the increasing in some of the, you know, everything, the inflation and everything that's happening. But I think that's going to continue. It's just a little pause that we're going to have, but that's going to continue. It doesn't seem to be stopping.
You need to take a break.
I need to take a break?
Yes, you do.
Okay, well then let's take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU.
Labor is a two-way street. First, it's earned. Second, it's paid. In the air conditioning business, it just went up 10% again. I tell my techs, let homeowners know about the York factory parts and labor warranties. An out-of-warranty AC part costs many times more than yesterday's AC parts did. Ask your AC tech about our York extended factory labor warranties.
Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And as always, at the bottom of the hour, I do have a few announcements. First of all, I'm going to get to our mixer tonight last because I'm going to bring Jenny back in for that conversation. But our annual dinner is coming up Friday, February 3rd. If you were thinking about attending, don't think a lot longer because last I looked, there's only 5 seats left. So Russ is giving me a look. So yeah, hi Russ. Good morning. we're about sold out. And last I looked, we're still collecting prizes, but last I looked, I think we're at 105 so far. So we have a lot.
I don't remember how much you had last time, but it was near that.
We had 104.
Okay.
We are still collecting because we added a couple things this year. And so for those people that haven't been, I mean, Russ was our auctioneer last year. He has graciously agreed to be our auctioneer again this year.
Well, I enjoyed it.
It's a fun time. So we are again doing our chance auction. We're looking to have probably about 80 prizes in the chance auction. And how the chance auction works is everybody in the room gets a paddle, and the paddle has a number on it. If you've never been to a live auction, you've probably seen them on TV where that's how they bid. They hold up their paddle with the number on it, and that's how they bid. Well, this is a little bit different. What happens is you're going to buy a token. The tokens are $1 a piece. And if you want to bid on an item, you throw the token. It is on the honor system with the people at your table. Everybody keeps asking, well, how do you know I threw my token? Well,
we trust you.
We trust you. I mean, people are coming to this. It's all our friends. They throw the token into a bucket in the middle of the table, and then they hold their paddle up. And Russ is going to walk around the ballroom calling out numbers. When your number is called, you put down your paddle.
Which means you didn't win.
Which means you didn't win, unfortunately. However, we are making a change this year. Well, officially, I know, Russ, I'm sorry, but you'll be okay. We are allowing you to put your paddle back up if you pay another token.
Okay.
So, you know, it is a fundraiser. This is our biggest fundraiser of the year. The chamber, we have bills to pay. So, So if you put your token back in, you can put your paddle back up and hope that Russ gets around to you again.
Yeah.
But that's a chance you're taking. So that's Russ is walking around the room. But at one point during this walking around and everything, there is going to be one of our VIP gongers on stage sitting with a big giant Chinese gong people went last year. It's loud. Everybody wants to ring it. People come into our office and see it and say, oh, can I hit the gong? And then what they do is at some point at random, the person on stage will hit the gong. Now, keep in mind, they have headphones on. They're not facing the audience, so they don't know whose number is called. They have no idea. At some point at random, they will hit the gong. And if Russ calls your number at the time that the gong goes off, that was the last whole number called, then you win that prize.
Yeah. I like it.
It's very fast paced. Unlike traditional raffles where you kind of have to wait or whatever, we have ambassadors up there with the raffle prizes. So if we're raffling off a $50 gift card somewhere, as soon as he's announced the winner, we're announcing the next prize and moving on because the winner doesn't come up to the stage.
Now, you say there's going to be 80 in that part of it. There's going to be 80.
80.
Mm-hmm. We had 100 last year.
We had 104 last year. We're kind of separating it out a little bit to make sure time-wise that so you have a little more time this year. We're also doing a silent auction and we're doing a balloon pop. And a balloon pop. So we have been asking local businesses to donate gift cards, and our businesses in Yuma County are amazing because they've all been, that's how we've gotten to 104 prizes so far, 105 prizes. We stuff the gift cards inside balloons and you can purchase a balloon and at one point in the evening when the balloons are all purchased, we'll have everybody pop their balloons and you'll see what gift cards you got. So, and I can tell you, we do have a couple gift cards in the balloon pop that are worth $100 because El Charo Cafe and Juliana's have both given us $100 gift cards. So some of them are worth $100, but we've got so many restaurants. I wish I could name them all because I know that we've got like Tacos and Beer and El Charo, like I mentioned, the Pint House, Prison Hill. I'm going to miss people. So just keep in mind that we have Mi Rancho. I mean, we've had so many restaurants donate gift cards or gift baskets that we've got that we'll have quite a few balloons for people to purchase to pop too. So we are, of course, having our awards, and we are grateful to our sponsors that sponsor our awards every year with Small Business Person of the Year, Ambassador of the Year, Member of the Year, Chamber Champion, which we've got last year's Chamber Champion sitting in the studio with us.
Yeah, it did surprise me.
I managed to surprise you once in 2.5 years, huh?
Never going
to
happen
once.
Again.
an Instagrammy, and so we'll do that. So cocktails are at 5:30, dinner's at 6:15. It's at the Four Points by Sheraton. Program's going to start at 7, chance auction probably starting at 8 and have everybody out of there, 9:30, 10 o'clock. So it's a super fun, fast paced night. I do know that, Jean and Maria Doten will be there again, to take photos of everybody. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank, Achieve Human Services has been our main big sponsor for our annual dinner for many years now, since before I got to the chamber, and they have continued. So thank you so much to Achieve Human Services. I reached out to Carol Carr, when we started planning the annual dinner, and she, was like, absolutely, we'd love to do it again. So thank you so much to them and to all of our sponsors, because that's how we've gotten to the sold out point for this annual dinner. But 5 tickets left, I think. So unless you know somebody that has a table, you better probably get your tickets quickly. So and we will not be having another Good Morning Yuma until March, but we are having mixers coming up. And so I'm going to bring Jenny Torres back in, the Economic Development Manager for the City of San Luis, because today's mixer is being hosted by the City of San Luis, which I'm super excited about. Thank you so much for hosting that for us, because I'm excited to get people down to San Luis and see all the cool new stuff down there.
Well, I think, it's a really an opportunity for us to showcase what we have to offer. Sometimes people say, San Luis, or they think it's San Luis Rio Colorado. And San Luis Rio Colorado has some great restaurants.
Yep.
My God, I know mm-hmm. Some of our elected officials took a little tour mm-hmm. and they loved it. But, there's a lot of business owners in Mexico that actually started the same business in the U.S. here in San Luis, Arizona. So you don't have to go across the border. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want, you know, carne asada tacos, you got the chipilon. You know, we have Rose and Bowls who have brought in, you know, just a mixture of culture and food, which is delicious.
Yeah. I cannot say enough about Rolls and
Bowls. Oh, my God.
That was the first place I tried. I will admit, I went down to San Luis, my first visit to San Luis. And so I said to people, I said, so where should I eat? Where, you know, I'm down here for lunch. Where should I eat? And everybody said, oh, you have to go to Rolls and Bowls. And of course, I have to give Abraham Andrade a huge shout out anyway, because he's such a huge supporter of the chamber. So
well, he's, you know, he's adding a little chilaquiles, chilaquilers.
Oh,
chilaquilers.
Yes, that's
funny. They have their soft opening, I think it was today. And so, you know, he's really trying to bring in other type of food to our community.
And art. And art,
yes.
And culture, too.
Oh,
because
God.
That's, you know, that's...
He does some amazing events very well.
I don't know how he has enough hours in the day.
You talk about an entrepreneur. He's
exactly,
definitely one.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, we have La Bodega. We have pizzas and beer. But uh-huh. Today, you know, what we're doing is we're going to have our mixer at La Malquerida.
Yep.
You know, and La Malquerida, once you take a look at the place, it's a beautiful decorated place. Mm-hmm. A lot of Hispanic culture. And she's bringing in, I think we talked about it. We said, you know, it's very unique. The food is very, it's like tacos, but you got ribeye tacos.
Well, that's
you know?
What I said. I called it high-end Mexican
high-end
street
Mexican,
food.
Yes.
I didn't know what else to call
no,
it.
No, it's actually that, you know, and they have some specialties in their drinks. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, people are going to be very pleased. And I think the city of San Luis is really trying to showcase, you know, some of the restaurants that we have. So, mm-hmm. again, you know, you don't have to go get your shrimp tacos in Mexico. We have El Navegante, you know, mm-hmm. who has delicious tacos. And we do see a lot more people from Yuma going and, you know, tasting there. They come back, you know. So I think that's what we're trying to do is, you know, there's some really good restaurants
yeah, that
you got to try.
That
that's
would be
definitely
me.
You.
That would be me. You know, like I now have, you know, And I remember the first couple trips to San Luis, I was like, oh, you know, I wasn't really sure where I was going. And now I've been often enough that I know I can get my way around without my Google, mm-hmm. you know, telling me where to go anymore. And because San Luis was big enough that I needed Google, you know, my Google Maps, she had to tell me where I was going. But now I have a good idea. And I'll say to my husband, even, you know, I'll be like, hey, let's pop down to, you know, pizzas and beer or something, because I'll be in the mood for that cream cheese stuffed crust pizza.
Oh, yeah, delicious. Yeah,
I know. I'm
yeah.
like,
and, you know, for example, you know, pizzas and beers, you know, their business is in Mexico. Yep. And they started here, you know, El Navegante, you know, they did the same thing. And so did Chipilon. So, again, you don't have to go across the border to get some of that delicious, you know, Mexican food or the seafood that you want. So I really, you know, hope that people do go and experience those restaurants, because you'll be pleased and you'll want to come back.
And I know I've been sending people to San Luis too, because a lot of people are like, ask me, what are you wearing to the annual dinner? What are you wearing to the annual dinner? And I'm like, well, I rent my dresses. And they're like, you rent your dresses? And well, yeah, because, you know, you can't wear the same dress twice. I mean, that's just not acceptable.
I don't know the protocol on
yeah,
it.
So
it's a rule.
So it's a rule. You can't wear your dress twice because even if people won't remember, you're thinking, oh, but I was in photos and you know, people are going to know that I wore the same thing.
It's
and
a girl thing.
It is a girl thing. And so
and you go to San Luis to rent your dress?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
rent a purse, too.
You can rent purse, you know, jewelry,
yeah.
shoes. Yeah, I mean, it's like, and so I already know that some of the ambassadors today were talking about heading down to San Luis before the mixer so they could go look at dresses to rent for the annual dinner next week.
There you go. It's a lot more San Luis can offer, not just food.
Well, definitely, yeah. No question. I always think of food for whatever reason. Yeah, I think because that's, I'm usually
food
down there.
Food makes us happy.
I seem to be down there to eat a lot. That's
yes,
like, it's like, I always like, Jenny, let's meet for dinner.
Yes, I think that's the experience that people are getting and coming back again, you know. So we all come, everybody to come in and have that experience.
So, but Jenny, tell me, so speaking of food, so there was a drink that I tried, as you know, when I was there at La Macarita last time, and I don't know what it was. The beer with it's almost like chamoy.
Yeah, you know, the one of the specialties, you see it in Mexico, not a specialty, but something unique, something different is, you know, they have the caguama, and people will know it's a, I don't know how you call it in the U.S., it's a large, you know, beer.
It is a large beer.
It's a very large beer. And they have this mixture of drink. It's not clamato. It's, you know, something they won't share the recipe, unfortunately.
Yeah. But I definitely know there's not clamato because I'm allergic. So that I knew there wasn't.
So they kind of mix it so the beer doesn't taste as, you know, as much. And then you have this little, it's like chamois with the mixture of some spiciness. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of, sorry, Russ, but you almost lick it, you know? And it was like, it's delicious with the drink. And not again, not until you go and you experience
it. I did not lick it. We'll like, there's no visuals. So Jenny showed me the more business appropriate way. Correct. So where we scraped the edge of the glass on the outside of the bottle to get all that yumminess off that they've smeared on the outside of the bottle. Yep. And then poured the beer mixture into the glass. It would, yeah. Okay, it's, just so you guys know, tonight, I do usually allow myself one alcoholic beverage at our mixers. That will be the one.
Yep.
That will be the one today when you see me.
You'll love it. You have to taste it, and you'll love it.
And we are selling tickets at the door. We did allow people to pre-register, and we are doing something special for people that pre-register. We're going to have an extra raffle prize for them. But we are selling tickets at the door for anybody that didn't register yet and wants to head down to San Luis de la Malquerida. I got to try it out already and it was super good. Russ, is it on your calendar?
It is not.
Oh, you have to join us. I had to take Kimberly and I said, we got to try the food. We got to try the drink. So you can just say by experience, uh-huh. You know, it is worth coming down. So,
you know, San Luis is worth, and it's not that far.
No.
It's not that far. When people tell me that it's like, oh, it's all the way down in San Luis, I'm like, all the way? I didn't ask you to go to Phoenix or San Diego.
Yeah.
It's not that far. I mean,
we got in spoiled. You know, you're in LA. If you got to go 15 minutes away, it's going to take you an hour. Here it's, you know, just a drive away.
I do. We have got, you know, I had an hour, 15 minute commute to work each way when I lived in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, to me, San Luis is, it's next door.
Yeah. It is, you know, you just, and that's the way we feel when we come to Yuma. You know, we don't mind coming to meetings. It's
it's not that far.
It's
all
not.
Right. Break time.
It is break time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, with that, let's take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Get ready for a party at Quachan Casino Resort with country music superstar Dustin Lynch, presented by KTTI.
I was just thinking about you.
Celebrate Quachan's 14th anniversary during this special outdoor anniversary show February 16th. Tickets are on sale now at the casino box office or online at playqcr.com. So much entertainment, so close. Quachan Casino Resort. Must be 21 and older.
Bill Alexander Ford wants to be your best choice for 2023. During our carryover sales event, you can take advantage of our remaining 2022 inventory of F-Series trucks and world-class SUVs like Expedition, Explorer, Edge, Escape, and EcoSport with offers as low as 0.9% for up to 66 months on FlexBuy. Only off-road in an exciting Bronco or Bronco Sport, Mustang GT, and convertible could really make your new year exciting. Our remaining 2022 inventory has reduced in price to move quickly. Visit online at BillAlexanderFord.com today. Difference you can count on.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, and we have Russ Clark joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have Jenny Torres with the City of San Luis.
Good morning,
Jenny.
Good morning.
So we've been talking about the mixer, and we've been talking about, so tell us, give us kind of just a sampling of a lot of the new businesses that you're seeing in San Luis, because... And a little bit about them, because I mean, we have a lot of our great members have expanded to San Luis. I mean, First Bank Yuma has been down there for a while, mm-hmm. but AEA Federal Credit Union, I know, is getting ready to open up. Rolls and Bowls has expanded the other direction. So right. They were there and now they're in Yuma as well. But he's just opened a new restaurant. Mm-hmm.
So we, again, you know, with the rooftops comes a lot of commercial development. You know, we had Starbucks, so that was a great success because once you bring a Starbucks, you really all like the other companies come in.
Although, can I, as long as we're giving coffee, have you tried CRV Roasters yet?
No, I have not.
Oh my gosh, I'll have to introduce you to them because they roast their own beans and it's Mexican coffee.
And
they've got all these different flavors, and I'm sorry that I don't remember the one flavor, but they had like a morning sunrise one that. Yeah, and
I'll have to try it. So, I like to grind my own beans. So.
Like nothing against Starbucks. I do love Starbucks, but CRV Roasters opened a location in San Luis too, and same thing. And they now are in numerous places. But I happened to go to their location in San Luis, and it was.
I'll have to stop by because I like to grind my beans. And at 5 in the morning, I can't just drive to Starbucks. I need something strong at home.
Okay, well, yeah. So I bet CRV Roasters would hook you up.
Perfect. We'll do that.
So we have new businesses in San Luis.
Correct.
So, yep.
And then we have AA Federal Credit Union. They're almost done with their facility. Clean Freak Car Wash. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing amazing as well. I have my own unlimited car wash.
I got that.
And then Burger King is probably going to start construction in the, I believe, second quarter of this year.
Okay.
We heard Wendy's is coming. it's something a little different. So we're excited to have
Although
them.
I will admit, as much as I will go through fast food when I, you know, if I'm in a hurry or whatever, I love fast food, but it's just as easy for me to call Rolls and Poles and have them pick up.
Correct. Like, just pick up. We got used to COVID times. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, it's just as fast for me to call up Rolls and Poles and say, hey, I want, you know, XYZ and pick it up.
Yeah. So we got a new Subway down in our downtown. Okay. So that's a little different. And I think, you know, they'll pick up as well. We have Chila Killers that they have a soft opening today. We're having a hotel that's going before city council tonight, which is being proposed in the downtown. We have a new rehab that's going through the process as well, right in our Cesar Chavez Boulevard. On the east side of town, obviously we have the medical mall there, but we have a hotel that is just going through the process. It's an extended stay. And then we have a gas station that's being built, and I believe the property owner there is also looking at building a grocery store. We have some other developments, some small supermarkets. And so, again, a lot of development happening. They're going through the process right now. You'll see part of some of the construction that's happening. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you our development services is very, very busy just because they're going through all that process. And it's very exciting times just because we finally are getting the commercial development that we need. And we still need a lot more, but, you know, we'll get there. We're knocking on doors. So.
I say, what a great time to be the economic development manager, right?
You know, economic development takes time.
It does.
You know, and people don't understand that, you know. So I was getting worried there for a moment. I said, oh, my God, I got to provide some results. But, you know, we have a lot of entrepreneurs in San Luis.
Definitely.
You know, they want to start cooking at home. And we have some other developments that I think is going to help with that. But yeah, it's, finally the commercial development is picking up and, you know, it's a good time for economic development. It's a good time for the city of San Luis.
Are you having manufacturing? I know everyone's always looking for that, something other than agriculture. Agriculture we love and embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big part of what we do, but we want additional manufacturing or
employment.
Something.
Yeah. You know, so what we do, we had an investor that just purchased about 80 acres of industrial land. Currently, the 80 acres is under development, so they're doing all the infrastructure. We had, obviously, Russ Jones. You know Russ.
Yeah.
You know, he built his facility. He's looking at expanding already.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Spindle Cooling, Mario Jauregui. You guys know Mario. He built his facility and leased it completely. So I think he's going to look at a second phase.
I think it was practically leased before he had it built.
Yes. You know, and I think that's you know, we're having our local community invest into the community and you know, justify that there's a need. We need a lot more buildings. We met with the Arizona Commerce Authority.
Really?
Yeah. Arizona Commerce Authority said, look, there's a lot of demand, but what they're looking at is they want to make sure that you have buildings available because these companies want to come in. They want to move in quickly. They want to make sure you have capacity for water and wastewater.
Right.
And then they want the workforce. So I think those are the three, you know, key areas that, you know, they really focus on. Water is a resource that, you know, we still have, at least in the city of San Luis. So that's a valuable resource. And we don't want to say it too out loud here on the radio.
Just between us.
Just between us. But, you know, I think we got to be smart about it. You know, you're going to have some companies that want to try to take as much as they can. And, you know, we want to be careful. We are our industry, our main industry is agriculture. And I think we want to keep it.
You know, it was talked about a long time that they were looking into building some energy company was going to build this tall building down there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be like the biggest building in Arizona.
Yeah, it's a solar wind energy tower. It's been a controversial project. It's been proposed. It's been, you know, years pass by and, you know, they come back. Yes, we're going to build. You know, it's very speculative at this point. It was a large user of water. So that was a big concern of me, you know, just again, making sure that, you know, we're very smart about what type of companies we want and how much water they're going to be able to obtain from us. And so we haven't heard from them in a while. So we don't know if that's going
to
happen.
I personally would like to see it. I mean, it would put a shadow on Yuma. It's so big. I mean, the thing's huge.
Well, the spaceport might, you know. Yeah. GYDC has been really pushing for that. So that would definitely be a game changer, not just for the region, but, you know, within the closeness to San Luis, that would be one. But again, you know, there's projects. There are big projects that, you know, do come in. And it's just a matter, you know, we know that they're complicated and they're expensive. And so they take time, economic development.
It does take a lot of time.
So that's where we're at, you know. So, you know, we are trying to find other sources of employment. We learned that it's even though we have an advantage of being by the border, you know, sometimes we get outbid by Mexico. We can't compete with the labor force, the cost of the labor force. We went to the whole group here, GYEDC, AWC, in the city. We went up to Michigan for Lazy Boy. And we competed, and Mexico got it. San Luis Rio Colorado got it. And now they're expanding. You know, they already built their facility, and so, they're expanding. But
you know, at one time, the Maquiladoras down there was growing, and then it took – something happened, and they kind of went away a lot of them. Is it back now?
Oh, they're coming back, And, you know, San Luis Rio Colorado is building a cogeneration plant, huge amount of money being invested there. You know, we're going to have gas that's going to come in. So the city's trying to work with them to see if maybe, you know, either we give them gas from the U.S. or they give us gas from Mexico. They have some huge investments. Just, again, the port of entry is one, and they have a bypass corridor that's going to take the traffic, the heavy traffic, the commercial traffic off of Highway 2, and it's going to kind of go around the city. So I think that's really going to help. They got some hospitals. They have commercial development. San Luis Rio Colorado is definitely making a change, as well as San Luis Arizona, you know, in terms of their growth, their commercial, especially their industrial. So I think we're getting a little bit of that back in the U.S., you know, with warehouses being necessary to be on the U.S. So, you know, I think, you know, we're all moving in the right direction.
I was last time I was in south of the border down there was the bike ride with all the mayors. Now, did you go on that?
You know what? I was out of town so I missed it. We've been part of it for several years. I know Mayor Nichols, you know, that's really big. And he's really, you know, talk about the mega region, inviting the mayors from Sonora, Baja California, and California. And, you know, he's really, I think the numbers were pretty high.
They were high. And we had a wonderful time in Mexico. They really throw a party.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Man.
You know, they did that tour with, you know, with the restaurants, and it was amazing. So they're definitely, you know, they know how to throw a party. Well, they know how to host very well.
A 25-mile bike ride with police escorts was kind of surreal. It was kind of fun. I'll never miss it again.
No, I think, you know, once you have that experience, you go back, and then, you know, there was a lot of hesitation into going to Mexico, But, you know, you had the experience in going in there, you know, the amount of security, the after party that you have, the ability of U.S. Customs to allow us to cross, you know,
right back
quickly, you know, and the transportation is just a very well attended, very well organized event.
Amazingly fun.
Yes. You know, and I think the mayors all love it through, you know, through the Forefronted organization. Yes. They really try to push us for tourism and, you know, to see the advantages that we have of living in the border. You know, it's not all bad.
No.
We have some good stuff.
But that's not interesting to talk about.
Right. Like, no, we try to talk about the good stuff. Remember, this is only the good stuff from the chamber. Yeah. So it's only the good stuff.
I do the other stuff earlier.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Okay. All right.
I missed that.
We let Ross handle the bad stuff.
I missed that segment.
I cover all the problems.
But see, we see San Luis is so close. Ross rode his bike.
I did. I rode my bike. With police escort, it was a lot better, though. You
know, well, I'm sure. But that's the number one thing I get from people in Yuma, all the way down in San Luis, and I don't think people realize how close it is.
Yeah, no.
Well, yeah, from the conventions, our convention center here, our civic center, we it was 25 miles to drive into San Luis, Mexico.
Yeah, but so it's 25 rural miles, so it's not...
Yeah, it's not residential. It goes...
Yeah,
Highway 95.
Yeah, and the amount of public safety personnel involved in that event. I mean,
It was great.
You feel safe going throughout the whole route.
Yeah, every different police officer.
I feel safe in
sheriff.
San Luis anyway.
I'm sorry?
I feel safe in San Luis anyway.
You know, we are one of the safest cities in the state of Arizona. You know, we don't talk that a lot about that enough, you know?
Yeah,
we,
probably not, because I do hear that, but that's actually not. I usually get all the way down in San Luis. I don't hear about safety, but
I don't lock my door at home. You know, that just goes to show you.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Jenny, for coming in this morning. I hope everybody will join us tonight at La Malquerida, hosted by the city of San Luis.
We hope to see you there and give us an opportunity to showcase our community. Thank
awesome.
You so much
thank
for
you.
The invitation.
Thanks. You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.